Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Filmmaker Wayne Wong has cast his eye all over the American experience. His early films honed in on the lives of Chinese Americans with indie flicks like Chan is Missing and Dim Sum, and the Hollywood hit The Joy Luck Club. He's followed up with mainstream studio productions Made in Manhattan, The Last Holiday, and Because of Winn-Dixie. In his newest pair of films, A Thousand Years of Good Prayers and The Princess of Nebraska, he's returned to the Chinese and Chinese-American experience. This hour, On Point, director Wayne Wong on his career and his newest films. You can join the conversation. Have you followed the work of Wayne Wong? Do you go for his big studio productions or his indie instincts? Joining me now from San Francisco is Wayne Wong. He's directed 18 films from Chan is Missing and the Joy Luck Club after Amy Tan's novel To Smoke but with Paul Auster and the J-Lo hit Made in Manhattan. His latest pair of films, A Thousand Years of Good Prayers and The Princess of Nebraska, are out this fall. Prayers to the Art House Circus and The Princess of Nebraska to a YouTube debut. Wayne Wong, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you. Pleasure to be here.
It's wonderful to have you. I've enjoyed your films for a long, long time and enjoyed both of these. How was it for you to get out of the Made in Manhattan glitzy world and back to this more indie style of directing?
Yeah, it's a real pleasure to kind of go back to something where I have more control, basically. I don't have a huge budget or a lot of people around me to tell them what I need, but, you know, at least I could creatively control everything.
And when you did that, you also went back to Chinese and Chinese-American stories. Was that by your choice? Were you longing to get back into that neck of the woods? Or is that sort of your default position? How do you see that theme?
Well, I wanted to come back to that kind of content, and I was looking around for material, and I have an office in Francis Ford Coppola's building, and he has a magazine called All Story, and the editor for that magazine is a friend of mine called Michael Ray, who came up to me one day and said, there's this collection of short stories by Yong Lee. Mm. You should read them. There's some really, really interesting stuff in there. So I read, you know, the book, and these are the two stories that I responded the most, because they're both stories about recent Chinese immigrants in America, actually.
We're going to talk with Yi Yun Lee a little later in this hour. Let's listen to just a little bit from A Thousand Years of Good Prayers, a very moving film where an aging father comes from China to visit his daughter, who is in the United States, has been for a while, is living in Spokane, Washington, divorced. He spends his rather lonely days when she's off working at the library in a park in the neighborhood. But sometimes he's home, and here he's visited by a couple of Mormon missionaries to spread they want to teach him about Mormonism. He has his own things to say to them. Here's Henry Oh as Mr. Shi.
I not know your God. China no have God.
That's why we're here talking to you, sir.
Yes, yes.
Do you have any questions?
Questions many, many. I not know English. I see you. I remember I serve 青年的地下党员, 1948, communist.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
And that sends them right on their way. Wayne Wong, I loved Henry Oh in this film, just fantastic as the father. And there he's looking at these fresh-faced young Mormon missionaries. And as I read that scene, he's thinking back to his own enthusiasm as a young communist, as he says there, in 1948.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's what's kind of so interesting. There's some parallel elements about their you know, philosophy and their beliefs. And the interesting thing was we tried to cast actors in those two Mormon roles, and we just couldn't find, you know, actors who were good enough to really get across that strong commitment and their mm-hmm. belief that they have. And we ended up going to the Mormons themselves, showing them the script, and they sent actually two of their own people to come in and be those characters.
They definitely read like the real thing on the screen there.
Oh, yeah.
that was something. That was great. How do you, when you come to a project now, when you look out at the world after all these years in the U.S., what you came when you were 17 from Hong Kong, I think. You know, what's your starting point? Do you feel yourself looking out through Chinese eyes, Chinese-American eyes, just American eyes at this point? Who's the Wayne Wong who's, you know, culturally directing these films? Where's he rooted now, you?
Well, I think, you know, I've been in the U.S. for more than 30 years, so in a way, I'm very American. But there's still a part of me that's actually grown up in Hong Kong, in a British colony, a bit of an outsider. So I would say I'm both an insider and an outsider. So when I look at the U.S., or even when I look back in China and Hong Kong, I'm always the insider, outsider. I'm never just one thing.
And as both, does it make you more sympathetic to one or the other? Does it make you, you know, where do you feel like you've got your greatest insights?
I think my greatest insights come from the fact that I am sympathetic on one hand and yet extremely critical on the other. So when I look at America, I look at it both ways. And when I look at, you know, Hong Kong, which I'm actually more familiar with than China because I grew up in Hong Kong, I look at it in the same way. I made a film with Jeremy Irons called Chinese Box, which was about the changeover of Hong Kong. And I, you know, that's the attitude that I, you know, took with that, which is to look at it as an insider-outsider.
Mm. 1,000 Years of Good Prayers has a big focus on what happened in communist China. It goes way back to 48. We just heard in that clip and the impact of the Cultural Revolution. There's a kind of unspoken tragedy that gradually emerges in the process of the film. In The Princess of Nebraska, you've got a young Chinese woman who's just been in the United States for a few months. She's in college in Nebraska. She's come to San Francisco probably for an abortion, but she's about as untethered to Chinese history as anyone could possibly be.
Right. Well, that's exactly why I did these two films together back to back. I think the first film is really about the after effects of the Cultural Revolution, because the daughter, who's in her late 30s, early 40s, grew up during the Cultural Revolution and was very much affected by it. And so many, you know, women from that age group from China who have seen the film have come up to me and said, you know, they were so moved and heartbroken by it because they really identify with the fact that there's so much betrayal and lies and half-truths told at that time, even within family members, that it's really, really, you know, heartbreaking. So I've always wanted to do a film about the Cultural Revolution, but I never wanted to sort of do it head on. So in a sense, that film is really about this woman trying to run away from that past, coming to America and becoming a new person. Whereas the other film, Princess of Nebraska, as you said, is a young woman. She's 19. She grew up during this economic boom of China and practically knows very little about the Cultural Revolution, and maybe, you know, a little bit more about Tiananmen Square, but not much more. The image of the tank man doesn't exist in her library of visual memories. So it, and she's, you know, more Western than we would imagine them to be. So these two women are two very different portraits of Chinese women from the last 30, 40 years.
And if one is burdened by history, the other seems almost entirely free of it. In The Princess of Nebraska, here's Li Ling playing Sasha. She's a young college student from China. She's at a dinner party in San Francisco. She's questioned by Americans, Chinese Americans there. You'll hear her response.
I was recently speaking to some 20-year-old female students from Beida. And I asked them about the Tiananmen Square incident with the tank men. And they knew nothing about it. Isn't that amazing?
Sasha, do you remember the Tank Man?
I heard a little from my grandmother.
Sasha, what do you do?
Precisely what you think.
And that is?
Nothing.
Nothing? Tell us, what does that mean?
Mind your own business. You guys know nothing about China. You guys are not even Chinese.
You guys are not even Chinese, though it doesn't look that way visually. Wen Wang, do you get that from young Chinese these days? Do they? You're not even Chinese, Mr. Wang?
Yeah, I get that a lot. You know, I actually, even when my earlier films came out, like China's Missing or Dim Sum, when they're shown in Hong Kong or in Asia or in China, people say, oh, that's not Chinese. The Chinese are not like that. So people in China and Hong Kong are very ethnic-centric, first of all, and they have a very definite idea about what being China is. That means you grow up in China, you are completely Chinese, and you don't, integrate any other cultures or any other perspectives into your field of vision. So when they see somebody who's Chinese American who speaks English fluently and thinks very American, they say that's not a Chinese person.
I'm Tom Asbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with Hong Kong-born Chinese-American director Wayne Wong about his life in film and his latest productions, A Thousand Years of Good Prayers and The Princess of Nebraska. In just a moment, we'll hear from Yi-Yun Lee, short story writer whose work is behind these two new films. Here's another clip from The Princess of Nebraska. Again, Sasha, the lead character, a college student in Nebraska from China, and she's in San Francisco as the film unfolds. Getting an abortion here. She's at the clinic talking about what led her to this point, thinking back to that night 4 months ago. Here's Sasha, played by Li Ling.
Yen, he's really attractive. I've been seeing his performance in the Peking Opera Theater. And one night, we went to a movie. And after that, we went to the hotel room. You know. And I suggest that we use a condom. Because I had one, but he said no. He said the condom is only for those people who touch without loving each other. And I trust him.
From The Princess of Nebraska, directed by Wayne Wong. It's based on a short story by Yi-Yun Lee, a professor of creative writing at Mills College, scriptwriter for A Thousand Years of Good Prayers, and author of A Thousand Years of Good Prayers. Came out in 2006, short story collection, award-winning. Won the Frank O'Connor International Short Story Award and the Penn Hemingway Award. She joins us as well now from Oakland, California. Yi-Yun Lee, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for getting me.
How long have you been in the Wayne, please say hi. Yi-Yun Lee, how long have you been in the U.S. now?
I've been in the U.S. for 12 years.
And were you surprised when suddenly Wayne Wong was looking to pick up your short story work and put it on the big screen?
I was. I wasn't even ready.
And he, not only that, but asked you to do the screenplay as well. What was that like as a short story writer to actually write for the screen?
You know, it was one of the most fascinating experiences because, well, I'd never written a screenplay. And, of course, Wayne, you know, met me and Wayne gave me a software and said, go home and write a screenplay.
A little and, software and off you go, yeah.
And I went home and I wrote a draft and I showed Wayne, and Wayne called. I remember Wayne's words. Wayne said, "Ian, this is not a screenplay. This is a radio play." because my characters just could not stop talking. Uh-huh. And that's one thing I learned from, you know, talking to Wayne. He said, you need probably 40% of silence in your film, in your script. And I went back and started to really just look at the characters and look what they did from day to day instead of what they talked about.
Mm-hmm. And let that show in the film. Wayne Wong, how did you decide to go to the short story writer for the actual screenplay?
Well, I've always thought that the person who wrote the original material have more insight than anyone about adapting it into a screenplay. And I think with a little bit of help, they can always come up with the most authentic material. So, like, for example, with Amy Tang's book, with Paul Auster's short story, and mm-hmm. with Yi Yong, I just felt, you know, really strongly that I should just go back to the original writers.
And as for that silence, in both of these films, you're not at all shy about using that. But I've read you saying that when you produce for the Hollywood studios, bigger films, that's absolutely almost off limits, that silence, that they want something happening almost in every beat of the tempo of the film.
Yeah, in the big studio Hollywood movies, they don't want the characters to even take a breath. They just want to push everything along. They want to push the audience along so that everything goes on this really fast pace. So that's why I was very conscious when I was working with Yi Yong to say, you know, have these characters do things, have these characters take their time, have these characters, you know, sit in silence if they have to, if the conflict is there, because silence is so much part of our lives, and yet the bigger films, the studio films, you know, won't really deal with it.
Let's take a call from Cheshire, Connecticut, and Ying. Hi, Ying, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Ying, what do you see? What do you know?
Hi, how are you, Tom?
Very well.
I love your show, and
you.
I'm like almost every day I listen to it.
Wonderful. What do you see here, Ying?
I just want to make a comment. I have seen some of Win Wong's movie. They're pretty good, but what I try to say is I hope there is some movie will make from the view or perspective of real Chinese people instead of see through Americans' eye. This is it's just what I feel. Is all the time is Americans better?
I don't know if you've seen these two new films. They're very much, you know, viewed from the Chinese perspective. You know, Yi Yong Li herself is from China, and she wrote it from that perspective. When I made the film, I was really respectful of that, and I tried to look at it as much as possible from the Chinese perspective. But there are certain elements I also look at it from a slightly American perspective.
Ying, let me ask you if I may. I mean, after all, Wayne Wong grew up in Hong Kong. Yi Yun Li grew up fully in China. I mean, how much more Chinese do you need to get a realistic or accurate view of China?
I think not only for the Chinese young people. You have to, if you make a movie of like a old time, you need to really have the perspective of the old Chinese people feel instead of only from through the young generation.
Mm. You should check out these films. I think it's fair to say we've truly got both old and young between A Thousand Years of Good Prayers and The Princess of Nebraska. But Yi Yun Li, let me put it to you. I mean, Chinese today, it's a big, powerful, thriving, in many respects, rich country, sensitive about its image in the world. You hear Ying saying, you know, this work she perceives. A lot of work shows America as better and, you know, China as troubled. Do you get that response from Chinese readers of your work, Yi Yun Li?
Yes, all the time, I guess. I was asked a very interesting question lately by a Chinese reporter, and she said, how can you be sure you're representing, say, 90% of Chinese in your story? And my answer to that is, that's not what I'm trying to do. I think I'm a storyteller. I look at like very unique individuals. And if I'm interested in their stories, I tell their stories. And I think there is that sense. I earlier this year when the Olympic opening, before the Olympic opening ceremony, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I saw in the press a young man said, you know, everything has to be perfect with the Olympics because China is a young country, as a modern country, and as a young country, we cannot put up being laughed at. We cannot be a joke in front of the world. And I thought that was a fascinating comment. And there's this sentiment that, you know, we cannot show our shortcomings or you know, follies to the world because, like young people, they have to, you know, have that ego or self, mm-hmm. sense of self that they cannot be laughed at. And I don't come from that. I don't feel that I come from that sentiment. And I look at things rather, I guess, critically. And I look at things, the darker side of, you know, human beings. They may not be Chinese. They could be Americans. They could be still very dark and, you know, at least have that grayness in them.
Wayne Wang, how about it? Do you feel China, the Chinese, looking over your shoulder when you do a pair of films like these, judging you, judging whether or not you're admiring enough or too critical or invested enough in the certain image of China?
Well, I know the so-called Big Brother eyes of China are looking and judging. And they're very sensitive. Like, for example, you know, Yi Yong brought this up, you mm-hmm. know, about the young man saying how China has to look perfect. If you think about, let's say, for example, Mission Impossible shot there, mm-hmm. and the Chinese government was very sensitive about in the background there were dirty laundry hanging in the windows of the buildings, and they wanted those taken out. That's the kind of you know, sensitivity that they have. Mm. But I can't deal with that kind of sensitivity or that censorship or that point of view. I mean, I agree with Yi Yong is that China is really big and that there are a lot of different kinds of people in China. And I can only deal with specific characters that are very complex with a lot of details about them, with contradictions about them. And that's what Yi Yong writes so well. Mm. And that's what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in portraying the Chinese people because I cannot, you know, it doesn't
just
exist.
Too many.
They only exist in the individuals. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
We're with director Wayne Wang and writer Ye Yun Lee, A Thousand Years of Good Prayers and The Princess of Nebraska. His latest films based on short stories by her. Eli is calling from Waltham, Massachusetts. Eli, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thank you. And ni hao to Mr. Wong.
Ni hao.
The reason I was calling is that I recently just spent the summer in China as an intern at an American journalism outlet there. And, you know, obviously it was a very interesting experience to, you know, come from the United States and sort of embed myself in Chinese culture, but one of the major differences is definitely in the film industry. In America, I think, you know, our culture is very conscious of the film industry. That's one way that we definitely identify ourselves. Mm-hmm. And in China, obviously, things are much more strictly controlled. So I really respect what you're trying to do and bring these events, as far as the Cultural Revolution, to a wide audience in China. But do you think it's realistic that they'll be received by a wide audience in China and that you know, they'll have sort of the impact that you're hoping for, given the state of control over the Chinese movie industry?
Interesting question. I don't even know the answer on distribution in China. And, of course, there's a whole story in itself here. But, Wayne, what about these two films? And how will they be seen? Have they been seen in China? And what response have you had there?
Well, they haven't been seen in China, but hopefully they will be in the future. Actually, when we put Princess of Nebraska on YouTube, originally we were going to open it up, you know, for the whole China audience, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but it got blocked because of distribution reasons. It was sold in Hong Kong, and the Hong Kong distributor and the Singapore distributors both were sensitive about that. But eventually, I think we're hoping that it could be available online for free for everyone, because I think people from China would be very interested in seeing it.
Do you mean it was
blocked?
Whether
they agree with everything.
Do you mean it was blocked because of political sensitivity or commercial reasons or both? I'm not clear.
Because of commercial sensibilities. But also, I mean, just if I take one step further back, mm-hmm. was when we first tried to get the film financed, it was originally going to be co-financed by a Chinese company, because they have a lot of money these days to put into films. Mm-hmm. But the last minute, they backed away, saying that some of the dialogue in the script was a little too sensitive for them politically. So because of that, we actually half of our financing fell through last minute.
Was that because it dealt with abortion, because it dealt with sexuality?
Well, it was more for 1,000 years, and there were some lines, such as when he says, you know, communism is not bad, it just fell into the wrong hands.
Mm-hmm. And that.
So that line is still extremely sensitive. If you think that, you know, they don't want dirty laundry in the windows of in the background, mm-hmm. that line is still very sensitive comparatively.
Yi-Yun Lee, what about when it's in black and white on the page? Wayne Wong ran into some sensitivity about a film. What about your stories themselves? Are they distributed? Are they read in China?
Well, they are probably, you know, to a limited I think there is a one English bookstore in Beijing, and I went there to give a reading, and the books were sold in the bookstore, and I guess the store was owned by an English woman, and she actually made a funny comment. She said, "Well, I don't know if it's totally legal to sell your books here, but well, because we're mostly selling the books to foreigners in Beijing," she said, "nobody cares." So I guess no, I don't think there's a big problem there. Although there are, you know, things that will make people unhappy, I think.
The character Sasha in Princess of Nebraska, Wayne Wong, struggles with a kind of emptiness. You know, if there's a lot of ideology in the background of 1,000 years of good prayers, there seems to be almost no moral guidance in Princess of Nebraska. Is that seen as an insulting or offensive thing to depict in a film by the Chinese government or not?
I think it's probably very sensitive. So, but I'm not portraying the characters as completely, you know, morals or whatnot.
No, more sort of unmoored.
Yes, she is unmoored. She is sort of, more influenced by a lot of Western culture than the traditional Chinese culture, so to speak. And she is lost. She is sort of looking for herself in all those ways. But, you know, I think it will be sensitive. But I think it'll be very interesting to see if we do show it on YouTube, let's say, whether the Chinese government will try to block it or not. I think that's really interesting. I don't know. I mean, one of the things I find quite educational, actually, recently in Hong Kong, talking to a lot of Chinese artists, is that they think that the underground in China is probably more exciting than what's being allowed and what's showing above ground. I mean, both in, you know, in music and films and literature also. So I think if it's able to kind of, you know, find its audience in the underground, that's great.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking with Hong Kong-born Chinese-American director Wayne Wong about his life in film and his latest productions, 1,000 Years of Good Prayers and The Princess of Nebraska. Yi-Yun Lee is with us as well. She's the short story writer who originally wrote both stories made into films out this fall. Wayne Wong joins us from San Francisco, Yi-Yun Lee from Oakland, California. Let's listen for just a moment here to his 2002 big studio hit, Made in Manhattan. Jennifer Lopez plays Marissa Ventura, a Brooklyn-raised maid who gets fired from her job at a Manhattan hotel. Her mom wants her to call a house cleaner who owes her a favor. Here's J-Lo as Marissa and Priscilla Lopez as her mother.
I don't want to clean houses. There's nowhere to go from there.
Hasn't this taught you anything, Marissa? Wake up, little girl. You have responsibilities. And they come every month like clockwork. You want to end up back in the projects? Keep dreaming dreams that will never happen. You want to put food on the table? Call Senora Rodriguez.
You're right, Mom. I'm a good cleaning lady. I'll start over.
Made in Manhattan, 2002, The Latina Mother and Daughter. 1993, Wayne Wong's big hit was The Joy Luck Club, off the novel by Amy Tan, looking at ties between Chinese-American mothers and daughters. Here's Lisa Liu as An Mei, a woman whose daughter has a hard time standing up for herself in an emotionally abusive marriage.
I was raised the Chinese way. I was taught to desire nothing, to swallow other people's misery, and to eat my own bitterness. And even though I taught my daughter the opposite, but still, she came out the same way. Maybe it is because she was born to me and she was born a girl, and I was born to my mother and I was born a girl. All of us like stairs, one step after another, going up, going down, always going the same way.
From The Joy Luck Club, 1993, directed by Wayne Wong. Mr. Wong, I wonder how you look at the issue of images, maybe even stereotypes, changing over all these years. Chinese Americans, maybe every ethnic group in their own way, saddled with plenty of stereotypes. Do you now feel free? Do you feel liberated from those? Are audiences ready to see the real person that you focused on, whether it's from Yi Yun Lee's work or anywhere else?
I don't. I feel like sometimes we take a step forward and we take like two steps backwards. People don't really see the complexity of, let's say, a Chinese character or a Chinese-American character. People always tend to sort of box you in or box a character in and stereotype them again. It's very, very hard to sort of work against it. I've spent my whole life and my whole career working with that. Both personally and trying to do films like Made in Manhattan to try to get away from a certain kind of stereotype, but I keep getting boxed in another way. I mean, I end up now being the director of Ethnic Divas. That's the new stereotype and the new box that they put me in.
Queen Latifah, J-Lo, or yeah, the Chinese-American. When it comes to Chinese and American relations, what does that say to you? What does it tell you about the future? I mean, if you're out of Hong Kong, not the mainland, but Hong Kong anyway, and you still wrestle with those stereotypes, I mean, can we as countries, as cultures, know each other with some kind of accuracy, some kind of reality?
I think all you can do is what Yi-Yong and I are doing, is to try to define characters who are complex, who have contradictions, who are real with a lot of details, and try to present those characters as well as we can. That's I think, about all we can do. I mean, maybe Yi-Yong has some ideas about that. Because otherwise you've fallen, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yi-Yun, how about it? Surely, you have to feel liberated from stereotypes to do the work you do as an artist, as a writer. But do they still impinge on even you, who doesn't have to fill theaters?
Well, I probably feel it less than Wayne, because I think I'm luckier in the way that I only work at, just by myself. And once the book or stories are released, I tend not to read readers' response. But you get that, I got when Wayne's films were shown in Switzerland, I think, I got a very nice email from this 70-year-old man from Switzerland. He wrote a long email about how the films, both films, moved him like deeply. And I thought that was a beautiful moment. He had no direction to China. He had, little experience about China, but he just saw, especially with A Thousand Years Good Prayers, he just saw an old man on the screen and he felt deeply connected. And that was, I think that's what artists do, is just to overcome that boundary, ethnicity or the color of your skin. But if you can move someone from a faraway land, that's a awarding moment for a writer.
I have to say, I was very moved by that, by the picture, the image of age and the father-daughter relationship, and how history and the real difficulties of life come into the most intimate relationships. Wayne, sorry.
Yeah, and I have to say, I mean, I maybe was a little too cynical in my answer earlier, but I also see the other side that, that Jung is talking about. For example, I mean, A Thousand Years of Good Prayers is a huge hit in Spain. And for some reason, the Spanish family, you know, situation, you know, the daughters could really identify with the daughter-father relationship. And maybe there's also something about their own history about fascism and all that that sort of, you know, brings something into their culture. And mm-hmm. and that's very interesting, and I'm very moved by that.
The specter of revolution, or Franco counter-revolution, all that in Spain.
Yes, exactly.
Indeed, maybe hovering over the Spaniards the way it hangs over the Chinese father and daughter here. Let's get a call from Boston, Chen Chi. You're on the air with Wayne Wang and Yiyun Li.
Yes. Hi. Hello, Tom.
Hi.
The only movie I've seen director Wayne did was the Joella Club,
mm-hmm.
and at the time I just immigrated from Taiwan myself around 20 years ago, and at the time I just feel that it was a very very foreign feeling for me. I can't really relate to Amy Tong's books, but then I thought the movie really opened up the U.S. market for this type of film. And I was just wondering how would you balance the artistic integrity versus the commercial market?
Many interesting inflections in there, but Wayne Wang, what do you say to the base question?
Well, I always have to struggle with what a film does in terms of its commerciality with its, you know, authenticity and its creative elements. Joy Luck Club was the one film that I tried to do about the Chinese in America that I was hoping to cross over to a mainstream market.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do anything consciously to make it more commercial. I knew that the book was very commercial, so I try to be true to the book and try to be true to the information that that Amy Tang gave me.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you are an immigrant from Taiwan in this case, then there are things that you probably don't identify with, because Amy Tang's stories are specifically about her own mother and her own grandmothers. And they're from Shanghai, from a very, you know, well-to-do family, actually. So in that sense, it's more specifically from that. And maybe, you know, she also doesn't quite identify with the fact that Chinese Americans are just as American as Joe Smith down the street.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two aspects that might be foreign to her. But then they are quite truthful to some Chinese in this country, especially the Chinese Americans. I think they're absolutely truthful to who they are.
Chen Chi, our caller, let me turn back to you for just a moment, if I may. I mean, I'm guessing that a lot of Americans who saw that film, and many did, of course, would have thought that a Chinese woman, even from Taiwan instead of Shanghai, would have related to this. Certainly there's a plenty of cultural history there shared by many Chinese. Do you recall what it was about Joy Luck Club that didn't ring familiar or true to you?
Well, first of all, I think that I have mixed emotion about the film, because some of the actresses were not actually Chinese; they were Japanese or something. I can't recall. But I thought that it was great because it opens up the market for more, you know, people to see Asian, you know, people played by real Asian. And
yeah, that was a very conscious thing that I did. I mean, I cast Japanese, I cast Vietnamese, and the bottom line was that Hollywood doesn't believe there are enough talented Asian actresses to even play those eight roles. So I wanted to have the best that I could get as actresses, and as long as their accent or their facial features doesn't give them away too much, I use them.
Right.
And I think that's very important to open that up.
Mm. Chen Chi, thank you very much for your call. Let's get another from Boston. And Novum, you're on the air with Yiyun Li and Wayne Wang.
Tom. I love your show, and thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also a huge fan of Yi-Yin Liu's work. I recently read one of her short stories in The New Yorker, and I've recently become a huge fan. I just wanted to say that a lot of what Ms. Lee and Ms. Wong are talking about really ring true to me. I'm an international student from Hong Kong,
mm-hmm.
and so I completely agree that there is no one monolithic kind of Chinese identity that, you know, every Chinese person will be able to identify with, that there are so many out there. And when I first came to the U.S., like, a lot of the Asians that I saw portrayed in movies were, you know, either kung fu fighters or nerds.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, like, it's not all like that. And I'm really glad that they're bringing all these extra stories in as Chinese people just, you know, interacting with their families and real people. And that's kind of made me feel really, like, happy.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Nobun, thanks very much for your call. You and Lee, there's a reader. And congratulations on your New Yorker piece, but you've got a fan.
Thank you very
much. There's a great new short story in the recent New Yorker piece, actually. So...
Thank you.
Yeah. May I ask, in the Joy Luck Club, and again in these two, there's a fair amount of sorrow in the backdrop of these stories or these films. And I think some American viewers, Wayne Wong, may associate that with your view of China, Chinese culture, you know, scratch deep enough and you get a kind of sorrowful tale. Is that your view of China, or is that a universal fact of human life that you're just happening to depict in these stories of Chinese and Chinese Americans?
Well, I think for me, I mean, the Chinese have had a really, really tough history in the last, you know, I don't know, hundreds of years, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of sorrow and tragedy there. And also philosophically, the Chinese, you know, tend to be very fatalistic. And that's something maybe Yi-Yong can comment on more, because I asked her about this. I said, well, why are these stories so futile and so fatalistic,
mm-hmm.
or these characters are?
Mm-hmm.
And she had a great explanation for it.
Let's hear it. Yi-Yong Lee.
You know, it's very interesting. I didn't realize when I wrote these stories, and then a lot of people commented that they were very fatalistic stories. And in a way, I always think of my characters as a very serious, you know, people who really want to live their lives seriously and sincerely. You know, they want to love sincerely. They want to have happiness. But, you know, in China, I think if you look at the history of China in the past, you know, 100 years, you know, the politics and turmoils, it's like weather. It's in everyday life. So sooner or later, these characters run into, a bigger hand, you know, mm-hmm. moving them around the way that they did not expect. So I thought that probably is where the fatalism comes from.
But when we actually
that
took...
That explanation I give to you, Wayne.
we took this show to Shanghai earlier this year, and in our preparation for that, we saw, among other things, that surveys showing the Chinese today, or at least in April before the stock markets went, among the most optimistic on Earth.
Yeah, they are. I mean, even though after all the sufferings and all the tragedies, they will forget about it or integrate that into their being and go on and be optimistic and work really hard. That's the amazing thing about the Chinese. They probably don't dwell in it, but deep in their soul, I think there's a lot of tragedy and a lot of suffering and probably a lot of futility that still goes on there. I mean, one of the most interesting things I find about the daughter character in Thousand Years is that she, even though gone through this devastating, you know, period when she was growing up because of what her father did, and yet at the same time, she's repeating the same history as her father by having an affair with a married man. And not quite knowing where that's even going to lead her. And one of the most moving things that she says to him in this one scene that we see them together is that he says, you know, maybe you should bring the daughter over because, you know, there are things that her mother won't be able to teach her. Mm-hmm. I find that really moving. At the same time, it's very futile.
And yet so sort of beautifully, deeply felt and paced and conveyed in this film that there's a great beauty surrounding it. And I certainly felt it as just one viewer and feel very grateful for it. It's been wonderful to be able to speak with both of you this hour. Thank you so much for being with us. Yi-Hyun Lee in Oakland, California, thanks for your work, your writing, and your work on these films.
Thank you very much, Tom, for having me.
And Wayne Wong, director of so many big films, the most recent, out this fall, A Thousand Years of Good Prayers and The Princess of Nebraska. Mr. Wong, thank you very much for joining us today.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Tom.
Listeners, you can continue the conversation and download the On Point podcast. You can also at onpointradio.org, where you can also link to The Princess of Nebraska. It's on YouTube. Check it out. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.